Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. Hallelujah. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me, Jesus said, of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord. Father God, oh, we thank you for these words, which are such a great comfort to us, a strength, a rock, something that we can depend upon. This is our Lord Jesus. This is the face of Father. Come unto me. Father, it's our desire to come unto you. We truly have known laborers, and many here today still are under burdens. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, all kinds of burdens. All ye that labor, all ye that labor, all ye that labor, everyone that labors. And Father God, you promise, you declare, and you cannot change your mind, you will give rest. That is your desire for your children, that they rest from their labors, from all their labors. That we walk in newness of life, that we walk in rest, that we know the peace of God. And we thank you that this day you will speak to us in such a way we'll never forget, that you are the God that we can come unto, that we might find rest for our souls, and that we might labor without labor unto full fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord has given me another word. Not that I'm seeking words all the time, but I'm seeking words all the time. And this word that he gave, I know I didn't hear all of it. I know there's much more, but this is what he gave me this morning as I was in prayer. O my people, my chosen portion, separate yourselves unto me this day. Draw aside unto me, and I will surely do thee good. Seek thy pleasure in Zion, and you will find riches and treasures which have never been uncovered. Do not say to yourselves, I do not know how to seek the Lord. Is there a face more fair than mine? Do I not possess the beginning and understand the end? Can I withhold from thee my chosen, my beloved? O my people, my chosen portion, see how my heart longs for thee. O that I might see thee in thy drawing aside. O that I might know thee in the day of separation. Then would my goodness be understood. Then would my pleasure be poured upon thee. How shall you worship me in the beauty of holiness unless you see my goodness and talk to my mercy? O dearly beloved, do you not understand? The days of thy sojourning are soon spent. The hour is almost over. If you busy yourselves with the things of this world, then where will your treasure be in the day of thanksgiving? Oh, I have much to show you. Come unto me that I may open thy eyes. If you knew me better, your soul would find its pleasure. Your work would become sweet. Your days would be as the pleasant breeze. Oh, let your soul draw aside unto me at this hour. Then will your heart rejoice, and I will lift the heaviness from off thee and give thee a new garment of great delight. I am your God, and you are my people. I am good, and my mercy endures forever. Come, separate yourself for a season, that you may taste and see. Then I will heal you and take away the division in your soul. Oh, I have much to show you. Make Zion the city of thy enjoyment. Seek my face, and your reward shall be great. Our hearts are already bound in deepest pleasure. Now then, delight thy soul in the same love. Forget thy work, set aside thy walk. These are days of refreshment and joy. O beloved, delay no longer. Am I not before thee as thy very life? He who forgets his God forgets his own soul. Find my face this day, and you will find goodness and joy. Obey me, choose me, and I will grant you the desires of your heart. Trust me, my children, and I will open a way for thee which no man knows. Purpose in your heart right now to do this. I am the Lord thy God, and I will do thee good. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just love you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. All things, Jesus said, are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is good. Amen. God is good. That's the message today, that God is good. God says, learn of me. This is what you must learn today. God is many things. God is holy. God is just. God is kind. God is long-suffering. God is many things. But one thing that God is good. The word in the Hebrew for good, there are really two, but the main word is tob. Can you say that? Tob. So God is tob. It's one of his names. It's his very nature to be tob. The word Tobiah or the word Toby, all these names come from that word tob. There's another word, and I taught you this 2 weeks ago, I think, chesed. That's also the bowels or the tender mercies of God. That also speaks of his goodness. And those are the two main words in the Old Testament for goodness. There are two main words in the New Testament, one more than the other. The first word is kalos, and the second most popular word is agathos, from agathe, or agatha, agathos. Those are the words or the names of God in the Bible language. This is what God gave me. As a heart longeth for flowing streams, so longeth my soul for thee, O God. You know, that became so real to me on the fourth day of the fast. Suddenly I was in prayer and something happened. And I didn't know what happened, but it happened. And great worship just poured forth out of me, and I realized that I had not worshiped in this manner for at least 2 years. I just knew it once. There was a new freedom, and I just began to worship the Lord. Later, as I was obedient to what he told me to do, I was on the way to visit somebody, and suddenly the Lord spoke to my heart as I got in the car. The burden has lifted. And I realized that what I had experienced, I now understood. Some burden had lifted. I didn't even know that I was under one. But a burden had lifted. And he named the burden. And I won't tell you what it was, but he named the burden. It was two things. And I was so free, and I knew then when the Lord had spoken that that which had happened to me could now stay happened. Because he told me what it was, and I realized, oh God, everything that came out of me at that moment was, I've missed you so much. Now, I've said that many times to God, and I've longed for God many times, and I've worshiped God many times. But something in me just, I just was out of this life. I just wanted to be with God. And it was a familiar thing. It was something that I longed to do again and again and again. And my heart just longed for God. And I then remembered that we were fasting at this time and seeking God. And we were seeking about a specific thing, the structure and so on. But what God was speaking to me was, I don't want to talk to you about all that. I want you. I want you. He wasn't talking about holiness. He was talking about just coming before him and longing to be with him and just to receive from him and just to see that he's good. Well, since that day, many more things have happened and God gave me many more revelations even that morning. But our God is calling us in these days of our fasting to separate ourselves. I know he is. Even though there's 2 days left, there's 2 days to separate ourselves. Of course, it's an ongoing call, but very concretely in these 2 days, specifically, take time out. Whatever you plan today, if it's possible, cancel it. And just take the time to come before God, to know him, to seek his face. Else you will miss the blessing of God. Now, God will still bless you anyway, but you will miss his best. Let me put it this way. God's not going to cheat you, but you're going to miss something if you don't trust him in this. That's the word of the Lord. In all of our busyness with New Testament structure, which is a good thing, and our concern to have a spiritual leadership, which is a good thing, yet God is saying, above all else, know me. Above all else, know me. Now that's not a burden. If that's a burden, then don't listen. If that's a burden, then don't listen. Because those words are not burdensome. Those are the most pleasant words. You don't know the tobe of God. You couldn't understand that God is good. Because to know God is to know him in his goodness. Our God is so good. I've just seen this over and over again. I wish I could share the things that God has shown me this week in the Spirit. But his goodness is magnified so much that I felt like I didn't even know he was good until this week. There's so much more to it. I can contain myself scarcely. God is yearning to reveal himself. In John, we read in the first chapter that no one's ever seen God. No one's ever seen his form. Behold his face. But Jesus, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. Because Jesus knew him in the bosom, in the bowels, where the hesed is, where the goodness lies, where the very character and nature of God resides. Jesus has come forth. He's made him known. He's told everybody, what I know, you now must know. And that knowing has so changed and transformed our lives. Not only are we born again, that's the greatest, but yet, in many ways, only the beginning. That we've been given a vision, a view, to come to know the Lord, not only as Savior, but in every other way. So, if you want to please Father, and that's why you were born again, you have no other heart but that. So you're out of step with your own heart, with your own self, unless you come to learn this. And I know in all the years I've taught, I've taught on this many times, but I know that it's easy to get caught up in all the how-tos and the interesting scriptures and this and that, but if I would fail in everything but to teach you this one thing, to know God, if you would never have a New Testament church, if you would never come into witnessing or anything else, if you would just come to know him, everything else would happen automatically. If you would just learn that one thing, that God is good and God is calling you to come to know him. And I know people have tried and they get into all kinds of legalism and bondage and they end up knowing something else. I know. Nonetheless, God is good. He's sweet. He's simple. It's not complicated. It's not complex. Religion has made it sophisticated and complex, but God's just good. He's just like a father. He's just like a mother. He's just like, it's so natural. God is good. If you knew that, if you knew that alone, if you knew that you could only expect one thing from God, goodness. Some of you still are Old Testament in your thinking. Some of you still are legalistic in your thinking, pagan in your thinking, carnal in your thinking. You think that God is good and bad, that God has two things, that His nature is divided, but it's only one thing, goodness. God is not evil. God is never wrath, never, toward His children, toward them that believe He's never wrath. He will be wrath toward them that believe that He's not good. He will believe, He will be exactly what they believe. As you believe, so it shall be. If you believe that God is not good, then indeed you will experience such a God. Only it's not the true God. God is good. There's nothing but goodness in God. So, God this morning, He wants you to know, not only does it please Him that you seek Him, but I want you to know, there is no greater pleasure for you than to seek the Lord. There's no greater pleasure for you than to spend time with Him, to turn aside, to separate yourselves. Psalm 73:28 says, it's a good thing to draw near to God. It's good to draw near to God. John 17:3, my favorite verse, at least among them. This is eternal life, that they know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To know God and to know Him in Jesus, that's the only way to know Him. He said right here that you can't know the Father except through the Son. You can't know the Son except the Father reveal Him through the Spirit. But the Son makes Father known to us. Whosoever. Whosoever. Anyone who will come. Anyone who will come unto Me. All ye that labor. All ye that believe that God is not just good, but, oh, if I could only make that word good be bigger. Tob. Agathos. It's not just that He's good, like as though He's also something else. It's that He's completely good, totally good. There's nothing but good. It's gooder than you can imagine. It's so good. God is so good. You doubt God. You don't know Him. How can you know Him unless you know that He's good? The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 5, for He is good. In other words, that's His very nature or character. God is Tob. Tob, God. God, Tob. In fact, Jesus said in the New Testament, none is good but God. Good Master, what must I... He said, none is good. There is no other. God is the only one that's good. If you are good, you are not good in yourself, but you're good in Christ Jesus, who hath made you good. Because goodness of God is no longer just in God. It is now extended into you. That's what goodness means. It's the goodness that comes out of God and into you that you may be good. That's God. Have you received that goodness? Not only salvation, not only Christ Jesus, but with Christ, Paul says, all things as well. Have you received all things? Are you lacking anything? Do you miss anything? Is there anything that would right now make you not content, completely happy? Are you looking for anything that might add to your happiness? Is there anything that might take away from your happiness? Is it possible? What? Is it possible? Could anything add to your happiness? If you had, think of something. What could make you more happy? I tell you, there's nothing. If you've met the Lord, if you've come to know Him, there is nothing. You can rest in Him. I don't want anything. I don't care if I live or die. I don't look for anything. There's nothing you can add. There's nothing you can take away. The devil can't get me. There's no way. You can't take away. You can't add. If the nation falls apart, if all the worst fears in the world happen, they will not remove my complete and total and utter joy. Amen? Amen. That's rest. That's the day of rest. Don't look in the future to say, someday God will. Know the God that's today, who is good. He already has. It is finished. Now, I know that someday God will reveal what you now have, what you now possess, what is now yours. But you won't get any more, and no one can take away, because what we have is unshakable. Amen? Amen. That's good. Don't you see what a difference that makes? The whole world is running. The whole world is scurrying. Well, I can't quite say that. Actually, the whole world is not running. Maybe half of them have stopped running and given up. They wanted to run. They tried to run. They're after this and after that and so on. Some think it's their marriage. I got a bad wife. How many got a bad wife? Praise the Lord. How many got a bad husband? Look at that. What a content body. Praise God. In all honesty, you have received nothing but good from God. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, Proverbs says. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Praise the Lord. God does not give anything but good and perfect gifts. Amen? That's why we're content. That's why we're happy. Neither sickness, nor trouble, nor tribulation, nor famine, nor sword, nor anything. Nothing in all creation can separate us. These are not words for me. This is my life. This must be your life. No one can add to you. No one can take from you. You have everything. God is good. And His mercy endures forever. Forever. Never stops. You remember last week we studied, I think it was last week, that the glory did not fall until Solomon did everything. He had to build the place and put the furniture in it and get the ark in it and get the singers and the worshipers and everything. Still the glory didn't fall. But when they sang these words, the glory fell. For God is good and His mercy endureth forever. Then the fire fell and the glory filled the house of God. I tell you, that's what God is waiting for. When you say, not just with your lips, but with your whole being, for God is good, and you come with that tobe, you come with that agathos, sort of exuding from you when you come here, and when you get stirred up, and you know that God is good, when you know Him, then I tell you, the fire will fall, and the glory will fill this house, supernaturally. And healings will take place, and holiness will take place, and happiness will take place, and out of that will come witness and worship and all kinds of wondrous things. The fruitfulness of the children of God. God does not want you to work until you know Him. He does not want you to go until you come. Come unto Me, go ye therefore. First to come. How can He send you unless you've come? Come and receive. Come and know Me. Come and don't get marching orders. Come and know Me. I'll tell you about that. And after you come to know the Lord, you'll find that it's so easy to get revelation. It's so easy to come by wisdom. Let me share with you some of the scriptures that, just point out that God has no other disposition except good toward you. Let's just say that in fact. God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And all of His goodness
is toward me.
He holds back none.
I am His beloved.
I could be no happier. I will now tell My face. Look at many of you saying the words, I'm happy. Praise the Lord. Look happy. We have a good God. Nothing can stop Him. I don't even care about your sin. You see, that's the difference between the Old and New Testament. God believes in holiness to the highest degree. We teach holiness. I believe that you will be holy. You shall be holy. Not in heaven. Here. Because God is holy. Nonetheless, we don't teach it in a legalistic way. Because the secret to holiness is not legalistically doing something, trying hard, exercising your will, and so on. The secret to holiness is knowing the Lord. Coming before God. When you come into the presence of God, you can't but be holy. Because anything in you that's not holy will be burned up by the fire that falls. And the goodness of God will just come forth. You will find that works. Beholding His face, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. That's how you'll be changed into holiness. Beholding the Lord, and the Lord is good. Well, Psalm 34:10 says, they that seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Praise the Lord. That says no good thing can be... Don't ever say, well, God hasn't done it yet. He doesn't seem to be answering my prayer. I would like to be healed, but I don't think God's going to do it. Nonsense. If it's good, God will withhold no good thing. You better look in the Bible and find out what's good. Find out what's good. I'll share a few things in a minute. Another one, Psalm 84:11. No good thing will he withhold. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto all them that wait for him. Now, sometimes you find out that goodness doesn't come right away. How many have found that out? You have to wait. But I tell you, while you're waiting, something good's happening. Something better than the good thing you were waiting for. I'll say that again. Something better than the good thing you were waiting for. You are learning something by believing in his goodness, expecting good, and something gooder is happening before you get the good. God will never give you second best. You could never get a good thing out here and then get something less good here. God can only give the best at all times. If he delays a good, it's because he has a greater good before you. When Jesus was on the cross, he was not receiving something bad. It was the greatest good. You see, generally Jesus got his way. When he said, "Stretch forth your hand," he healed. When he walked on the water, it held. For 33 and a half years, everything that Jesus wanted and said came to pass. That's a good life. Amen? That was not a life of suffering in the sense that we think about it. It was in another sense. But he wanted then to extend that. So there was something better than living. Father, should I save myself? Should I pray that the angels come down and save me? No. It's for this reason I came. He said, even though the cross doesn't look good, actually it's the goodest good. And that's why it's called Good Friday, isn't it? Because something good happened in that darkness. He was able to expel it and expose it and say to everybody, look, my children, even death is but a sleep. Even death is not the last word. It's only something pleasurable to you if you are my children. If you want to know me, don't fear death. Don't fear death. Death is an enemy that I've overcome. I've beaten it. Death has been whipped, beaten. Now it's pleasant and sweet for us. Amen? 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 We weep and cry, not because a person dies. We weep and cry because we see them no longer for a while. But we'll be reunited with them. We don't weep and cry because of death. Praise the Lord. I look forward to death. I'm not afraid. You say, well, you will be. Well, praise the Lord. If I am, it's a mistake. Because God said it was good, and I have learned to know. And I'll tell you, my God will not put me into a situation that's bigger than I can handle. My God has taught me day by day, and I have never accused him one day since I've become a Christian, that you didn't give me anything good today. Every day has been sweet and good. And that's the truth. Peggy, is that not true? I'm not saying that. That's true. I have not known a bad day. I mean, I have been under it at times. But I knew, I had faith to know somehow my eyes are going to be opened. And often they would be at once. As soon as I saw it, so on. Other times there was a delay. But the point is, I knew in my knowing of knowing that only good could come. And I have learned to train myself that way. I have learned to put before me anything you can think of. I'm not afraid because I know only good can come. God has never done but good for me. And he'll never do bad for you. Many of you have lives full of accusations. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. How come he didn't do this? I don't understand that. Then you must believe that God is not good. I wouldn't even question God. I know he's good. Moreover, I don't just receive things. If I see something coming to me that doesn't look good, I tell him. I say, now God, this doesn't look good. Would you please open my eyes that I might see that this is good? Else, I will believe it's from the enemy who is the author of darkness, and I will cancel him out with the good power that you have given me. I never receive but good. Even the enemy must serve God. He can't hurt me. Even if he shows me a flaw, I'll just take it to my good God. I'll say thank you, so to speak. Apparently God was trying to tell me, and I was so blind that I didn't hear it. That's because I've been away from God. Right? When you're with God, you don't need anyone else to talk to you. God himself will tell you everything. The teacher dwells within. Another one, Jeremiah 24:6. I like this. This describes how God is good. For I will set my eyes upon my people for good. That's what God has done. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, in the Old Testament, He would set them and unset them. But in the New Testament, He has set them once for all. They are set. All those that look to Jesus have the eyes of God set on them. God has set His eyes upon all mankind, indeed. But they don't believe it. They don't know it. They don't know that there's good for them. They don't know that everything's happening, even to the pagans, even to those that hate God. God has nothing but good in mind for them. We need to tell them. Don't grumble and gripe and worry and complain and struggle and strive and so on, but rest, relax. Do you not know there's a good God in heaven? What about all my sins? God is taking care of that too. God is taking care of everything. And I will give them a heart to know me, God says. This is in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. I will give them a heart, we have it now, to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return to me with all their heart, with their whole heart. That's a description. That's not an exhortation. That's who you are in your heart. Your whole heart loves God. If you've been born again, your whole heart loves God. Did you know that? Well, get in touch with your heart. Draw aside today. Just tell your body, make it a living sacrifice. Just say, body, do what I say. As we have for 9 days now, we've told our bodies, be quiet. God is good. And He said it's good to fast. Therefore, bodies, behave yourself. What if now my stomach did not growl, but I've been on many fasts where it does growl, you know. It says, feed me, you know. And sometimes you're just thinking about food, you know. Especially maybe when it's your first fast or so. You're just thinking, when's the next meal? Yeah, oh, I forgot, I'm supposed to be praying, you know. You go through all kinds of things like that. Nonetheless, whenever those come up, they're just occasions. This is probably why they don't come up anymore. They're occasions for me to praise God. When the growl comes, I just say, stomach, that's you. I know that came from the flesh. The flesh encouraged you. Therefore, I'm going to praise the Lord that I don't have to pay attention to you, and I'm not going to die. And I'm not going to get sick. And something awful isn't going to happen. Now, I'm not saying if some of you did eat something at that point, it's okay. Okay? God's that good. I'm just saying you could have said to your stomach, behave yourself. So the devil doesn't come around anymore because he doesn't like to hear me preaching. Praise the Lord. Here's some of the good things God has done. Number one, He saves us. That is the goodest, 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 good of all. That is the tobe of God, that He has saved us. Number two, that He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. That is a great good that has come in the New Testament. That He has given us of His own nature and has empowered us now to use that nature in every way to the good. Number three, He strengthens us with Holy Communion. Number four, He gives us good laws and good commandments. Oh, I need that. I need to know what God wants. Number five, He guides us by the Holy Spirit. I need guidance. Number six, He gives peace to my soul. That is one of the great things that He does, is He gives peace to your soul. Have you experienced that peace? I mean, experienced it. I'm not talking about theologically. Have you experienced the peace of God? Where nothing can disturb you or throw you or dismay you. Nothing can corner you or come over you. But you look to everything as an opportunity to praise the Lord. You have to have eyes to know that God is good or you can't do this. Another one, God removes all guilt. I don't know if this is an important statement, but I have never, I don't know if I can say I never felt guilty, but I've seldom felt guilty. But I have never been under guilt since the day I've been born again. But then, as my wife would say, you were never under guilt when you were a pagan. That may be true. But there were about 6 months there where I felt terrible. And I would say during that 6 months, I was under conviction. Then I felt guilt for the first time in my life. That maybe I had missed God. That my life was in vain. Indeed, it was evil to the core. Then I was under guilt. I would say then I felt guilt. I had the deep terror. And it was really terrorizing of God for about 6 months. Until I met the Lord. And He released me. I came unto Him. I knew then that my life was vain. that it was empty, that it would never leave. All the lies I'd been under, that this would make me happy or that would someday come to pass, I now saw that they were lies. Even should I get everything I desired and wanted, and more so, I would never find life or happiness. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I now saw that only Christians had that, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I also had experienced the terror of life. I had experienced fears. I knew that life was not only empty and vain, and it would hold nothing for me any longer. I quit. I was extremely ambitious. Now I became totally unambitious. I could no longer serve myself or this life. But I also saw that I was entirely evil. Not only was I not going to accomplish anything good, I was only going to accomplish evil. Everything that I thought was a strong point turned out to be a weak point. Everything I thought was going to accomplish something turned out to be negative. So when I came to God, I knew then that God loved me. And although life may no longer hold anything for me, God held everything. And that was the only thing that mattered. Here's some more good things. Peace to the soul, that is, so you'll be happy all the time. Renews your mind. It's another goodness that God does. He gives you mind renewals. You think right. Think clearly. No longer confused and darkened thoughts. And that's true. He strengthens your will so that you can put down the flesh. You know, a lot of times you say, well, I don't think I could overthrow that. But when God strengthens your will, you can overthrow anything. I'll say that again. When God strengthens your will, you can overthrow anything. You really can. There's no sin that's too strong. You may think there is, but you don't know how good God is. He enables us to do good, that is, unto the saints. You know, this is your ministry. That's a good thing. You know, I love to minister to the saints. Not only this way, but in all ways. To intercede, to minister in anything, whatever God tells me to do. Another thing is, He empowers us with gifts for the building up of the body. The manifestation of wisdom and knowledge and tongues and interpretations and all the gifts, healing and so on, that we need to edify and lift up one another. That's another goodness of God. He empowers us to defeat Satan. Satan has no power whatsoever over a Christian unless you're ignorant, unless you're forgotten, unless you don't know. That's why you need to be edified, built up, strengthened, so you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know your authority. You're able to stop the roaring lion. Because he does come, amen? But you can overthrow him. We have been given all authority over all the power of the enemy. Again, that's the truth. He also authorizes us to heal, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers. I have not seen the dead raised in my own life. I've seen in others. But I believe I will. I believe that all these things will come to pass. Because God is good. He also gives us wisdom and understanding and insight. That's good. He also anoints us to witness with boldness, with signs following, so that our witnesses are effective. But I tell you, there's something even greater than all these goodnesses. There's something even greater, and that's this, that God has granted us, this is the goodness of God, to know Him, to fellowship with Him, to love Him, to see Him, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to hear Him. Oh, this is the greatest good of all. That's why He saved us. Salvation is surely the highest good, but it's the highest good so that we could come to know Him. Everything else that takes place is a fruit of that, a result of that. So, I don't know. It's impossible to know God's heart and not then minister. You couldn't know God and then not want to go out and heal, not want to go out and preach, not want to go out and do the things that God told you to do, when He told you to do it, how He told you to do it. Not just go out and do it, but as He speaks to you. And you'll learn everything in the closet. Come aside, God says. Abide. Enjoy My presence. I don't know, do you enjoy God? Often in my life, I wrestled with God for years on this. I enjoyed doing other things more than I enjoyed being with God. Those who remember back at the days when I was at King of Glory, remember that I enjoyed playing with my train set. For, I don't know, how long was it, Peggy?